You are listening to 88.5 KRFY. Good morning, and you've joined us for the morning show. I'm Jack, and I'm Lonesome Jack today because we have no Jim Healy with us. Jim is unfortunately out sick. We are sending him, of course, our best wishes. And the same is true of Carrie Logan, who was almost our backup co-host, but also called in sick. So I don't know if they've been hanging out together or what, but something's up. Something's going around. I do have, however, two guests in the studio who I'll be introducing in just a moment after the weather and stuff. But we have Kate McAllister and Ken Wood here from the upcoming play Misery at the Panada Theater coming up. Here's the weather. Let's jump right into that. We have 34 degrees outside. Can that be right? It felt warmer than that to me as I climbed out of the car. But the latest report is 34 degrees. That's 1 degree Celsius, just above freezing. And the forecast for today calls for haze in a high of 64 degrees. Widespread haze, that is. Haze and patchy smoke tonight with a low down to 42 degrees. Rain coming in tomorrow. Rain is likely, 60% chance of rain and a high of 52 degrees on Friday. On Friday night, low down to 36. And on Saturday, rain is again likely and a high of 44 degrees. Low of 33 degrees on Saturday night. And on Sunday, we have areas of frost and then mostly sunny on Sunday. Chance of rain on Sunday night, chance of rain on Monday. So it looks like we're finally getting that kind of fall rain and weather that we have been postponing for so long. Now, I also have, from the National Weather Service, a special weather statement. Here we go. An air quality alert has been issued by the following agencies: the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality in Coeur d'Alene and the Kootenai Tribe of Idaho. An air quality alert has been issued by the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality in Coeur d'Alene for Boundary and Bonner counties in North Idaho and is in effect until midnight Thursday, that being tonight. Particulate matter levels may hit the unhealthy category at times, especially for locations near the Kootenai River complex. Health impacts and recommended actions. When air quality is unhealthy for sensitive groups, sensitive persons may experience health effects and should limit prolonged or heavy exertion and limit time spent outdoors. When air quality is unhealthy, everyone should reduce exposure, limit time outside, avoid strenuous outdoor activity, and follow tips for cleaner indoor air. When air quality is very unhealthy or hazardous, everyone should reduce exposure, stay inside, and filter indoor air to keep it cleaner or go elsewhere for cleaner air if needed. That is your air quality alert from the National Weather Service. That is your weather forecast. I do not have the weather forecast for Arlington, Virginia, which is a sort of a tradition around here. But I think the people in the room with me may be confused that usually Jim has a fan base that reaches across the country, and he will do his best to serve all corners of his listenership and will sometimes give the weather report for Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. But I didn't pull it up today, and I'm sorry about that. Maybe I'll find some other quirky place to read the weather about later on in the program. I also have this in front of me, a note from Velma Queen of Fun, who was on the air last night here at 88.5 KRFY. Can you please mention this? The online auction for the Better Together Animal Alliance is on right now. Online auction is running from October 16th to the 22nd. Bid on gift certificates, getaways, experiences, artisan goods, and more, all while helping dogs, cats, and the people who love them. It's from octria.events/sit-stay-give-2022. The Sit Stay Give online auction from the Better Together Animal Alliance, which dovetails nicely with our topic for today's conversation, because proceeds from the play Misery, if I'm reading this poster correctly, go to the Better Together Animal Alliance. Is that right? Correct. Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk. We have here in the studio Kate McAllister, actress as Annie Wilkes in the play Misery, and Ken Wood, actor, as Paul Sheldon in the play Misery. And we should mention right off the top that there is a slight correction to some details on the KRFY website. It's posted correctly elsewhere, but the director of the play is Dorothy Prophet.
Correct. Okay. And it is in the Big Panada, not the Little Panada Theater.
That's right, which is where it should be, where it belongs.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jack.
Thanks for coming in. The play is called Misery, and mm-hmm. people may be familiar with a book by Stephen King called mm-hmm. Misery, and a movie adaptation of the same book, also called Misery.
Right.
And now we have a play based on the book or based on the movie or both?
Yes.
Okay. And before I want to talk about the process of bringing it to the stage, because that is been a story of its own. But first, for listeners who might not be familiar, what's the story of Misery? What can we expect on stage?
Well, it really goes well with Halloween, just mm-hmm. to let everybody know. Misery is about a woman who, Stephen King, when he wrote about her, said that Annie Wilkes is a character that has absolutely no redeeming qualities. She started killing people at 11. She burned up her family. And then Stephen King wrote, and keep in mind, it's fictional. It's one of his characters. Throughout her lifetime, I think he surmised that she must have killed 70 to 75 people, babies and adults, old people, just about anybody who got in her way. And then she has been wrapped up her entire life in these, well, her adult life, these romance novels. The head lead character is Misery Chastain. And Paul Sheldon wrote these, and she lives her life vicariously. She loves Misery, and so she's really wrapped up in that. And then when there's an accident, and she saves Paul, in quotes, from the car wreck and brings him, you know, takes care of him, then she's bound and determined to keep him right there.
The story is, and then Paul is an injured, he's injured and with no means of escape and no means of contacting the outside world.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And that,
yeah.
And tension rises from there. I have word from someone who has read the book but not seen the play. This is my producer from the outside. Says Annie is one of the scariest characters in one of his opinions. And wonders what that is like to get in the headspace of, which is a good question for Kate.
That is a really good question, because you know I've been on the Panada stage 102 times, and I've always played pretty much a character of myself, some you know sarcastic old lady that drinks and swears, mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting when we started looking at this in 2018 and started. Memorizing lines, and it was difficult at first because I guess I found out that I'm a nice person, and this is really, it's been kind of a stretch to be seriously crazy, a serial killer, and it's been really difficult because as we get closer and I get into it and everything, it really is kind of frightening because I'm very much a method actor, so I really want to embrace this character, and sometimes that's been hard because it's a little bit scary to embrace someone so dark. Not that I'm going to go kill mm-hmm. people, but it's been an interesting process for myself. It's been a great stretch for me to do someone else. Someone new came to our rehearsal the other night, and then I asked her the next day. I said, "So was I okay?" And she's like, "You are scary mm-hmm. as all get out," and that's exactly what we want, because she's also, Annie is awkward too. She kind of speaks stiltedly because she's really, you know, isolated herself in Colorado, and here's her hero that she loves so much. And so she only wants him for one thing, and that's to keep him around to write more books. And so she, you know, she tries to be nice, but like there are a couple lines that it's like, "I love you," or she'll say, "Oh, Paul." Right. And it's trying to be soft, but she is not soft. I don't know. You'd have to ask Ken if I'm scary or not.
Yeah, well, Ken is...
Kate is perfect for this role, by the way. I will say that. She is frightening. Yeah. Yes.
The play, I recall, I think we may have even talked about it on the air like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, probably now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And obviously things came up in between. Did it never leave the minds of, did you always know you were going to come back and perform it or?
Yeah. We were bound and determined. But the crazy thing was, it was so funny. I mean, we were 1 week out from opening night. And then Dorothy got a notice from Stephen King's agent or his publishing company that they didn't have the rights to the music. And all I could think of was, this isn't a musical. I'm not sure what is happening here. But it was Liberace. His estate, we didn't have the rights to, because Liberace music is played throughout the play.
Uh-huh.
And so we had to completely stop. And Dorothy would email the publisher like every 6 months or so. And then, you know, about 6 months ago, Stephen King reached out and said, okay, you can do it. And so Eric Bond was originally Paul Sheldon, but Eric, you know, he's, as Dorothy says, populating the world again. So they had a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ken was great. We had an audition and he was by far the best. And, yeah, and so we started all over again.
Mm-hmm. So you were pretty much ready to go though in 2018.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You've been living with this character for four years or so.
I know, right? Yeah.
Wow. So the king or king's still alive, not the king's mm-hmm. estate, but Stephen King just said, anything in particular change? Did Liberace's estate change their minds?
It was, I don't think that they had got, it was something to do with Liberace's estate.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they said, it just took time to, so that they could get millions for the, but I was really so surprised. I'm like, the music?
Yeah.
But when you come to the show, you'll see how that all plays out.
Yeah. I guess we should mention, I don't think I said the dates and times. It's October 28th. At 7 p.m., October 29th at 7 p.m., and October 30th at 3 p.m. So next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. And you can get tickets online at Brown Paper Tickets. And I guess that's that. But it's at the Panada Theater. The big one.
The big one.
The big one.
Mm-hmm. The crown jewel of cinema in North Idaho, as mm-hmm. far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you think is your art audience for this play? Who's going to like this one?
Oh, great question. I think anybody that likes scary movies or wants a little fright mm-hmm. right before Halloween is really going to enjoy this. It's a dark play. It mm-hmm. is dark.
Psychologically.
It's psychologically dark, yes. And I honestly think it's probably darker than the movie. If people have seen the movie, I think it goes to some places that are...
Yeah. Well, and, you know, when Rob Reiner produced it in the 80s, they had to make it more palatable for the general audience back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kathy Bates, Annie was almost nice, right? She was... But in the book, Annie is not nice.
Right.
And so it's really good combination of the movie and the book. But I think those who saw the movie when they come see it will be like, whoa, I didn't remember it was this scary. And those who read the book will be like, whoa, it's a lot scarier than this. How come? So mm-hmm. I think it's a good combination of both.
Yeah. Do you have a little comedy in it at all? Because I recall a little bit what I remember of the movie is that there were some chuckles, at least dark comic comedy.
Much comedy in
no.
this.
Just a scary, scary, scary show.
There might be some yeah. one-liners. You know, as the character Paul Sheldon, I think part of it is the fact that he is in a situation that there's no winning, right? He can't get out of bed. His legs are broken. He is completely reliant on this psychotic character of Annie Wilkes. And he tries to use his humor, I think, from from his past, but it just does not go over well with Annie.
Right. Well, there is one portion where I'm kind of mean to him, kind of. And I say, how does tuna casserole sound for dinner? Yeah. So I guess that's sort of a, right. But I think I think the audience will be like, wait, what? What?
Yeah. Where did she come with that?
What? Yeah.
So
how is it for you, Ken, to be, are you kind of bedridden for most of the play?
I'm for a good portion of it, yes. So yeah. it does create some acting challenges. Mm-hmm. In that you don't have body movement. You have to rely completely on fluctuations of your voice and how you portray things. So it's definitely a different role. I mean, I've been in theater quite a bit as well. But this is the first time I think I've played up here in Sandpoint a major role, which mm-hmm. is exciting.
Yeah.
The play is Misery by Stephen King, and we're talking to Kate McAllister and Ken Wood, the lead actor and actress.
I was just going to say,
is there anybody else in the show at all?
No, there's not.
Okay, it's a two-hander.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's a phrase I've heard before. Cool. And again, it's at the Panetta Theater this next weekend, not this mm-hmm. coming weekend. Three nights only. Ooh la la.
Right.
Wait a second. Halloween performance, October 31st.
No, canceled. We didn't seem to sell any tickets. We thought we'd give it a try, but
yeah.
There, you know, nobody was buying tickets, and you know, quite frankly, it'll be 6 days in a row of performing these characters, and
yeah.
Sometimes it's really tough when you are really embrace those characters. It's like it's just too much. But and so we weren't really selling tickets, and so we just, because it's Halloween night,
mm-hmm.
people are probably going to be out with their kids, and
yeah.
you know, Ken has kids, so that's probably what's going to happen then. But we were mm-hmm. game for it. We just didn't see any traction on it, so. So, yeah, so that's not going to happen. We are doing a free performance on Wednesday for restaurant workers. Dorothy, our director, it was her idea and Ken's idea that they never get the weekends off, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't get to see things. And so it was, hey, well, why don't we, you know, Ken said, why don't we just do a show for the restaurant workers? And so we have 200 tickets and... We're out delivering tickets to each one of the restaurants. Every restaurant gets 10 tickets. And so hopefully that will be our first audience Wednesday night. The general public isn't invited, but, you know, the kind of behind the scenes, the people who held us all together during the pandemic. And so we really want to honor that fact. And it was great that Ken came up with that idea.
That's a brilliant idea. I like that a lot. I think that's a lot of fun. And, I mean, what a great chance to get kind of a test audience, you know, a closed, right. you know, you got a closed theater. Not everybody can come. Just, mm-hmm. yeah, perform your intimate little show
right.
and see if you can scare the restaurant workers who would be, if you can scare them, I imagine you can scare anyone.
Right. That's what, right. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I plan on scaring them.
yeah. So you've been performing this for 4 years. I was going to say, when did you start working on this? But we know Kate, Ken, when did you kind of, when did we pick back up?
Yeah, I think it's been about 3 months now, 3 to 4 months that we've been.
Probably about 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months of rehearsals.
Yeah.
Every Monday and Thursdays, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Now it's
every night.
Yeah. I've never been in a play. When you do rehearsals, are you... at what point do you get in bed, Ken? How about that? At what point in the rehearsal process are you doing your reading from a prone position?
Yeah, pretty much right off the bat. Yeah. There's a small opening speech before the car crash occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's really, I'm in bed until pretty much the second act.
Yeah. Did you rehearse in bed as well?
I did.
All the way through?
Yeah, we've been rehearsing out of our director's garage, all set up with...
Wow.
Right.
With the whole...
With our set.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, it's probably easier than rehearsing in, I don't know, some other uncomfortable position. If you were doing a play of The Passion or something, you probably wouldn't get... You would be less comfortable on the cross, you know?
Right.
Doing, yeah, I would wait to do that rehearsal to the very end.
Well, but, and it's difficult sometimes to play those because I was in a play by Chris Herron that I sat in a chair the most of the time because you're, you know, part of my method is, and I believe Ken's too, is that when you, you know, the blocking, when I'm over here, I say this, when I'm over here, I say this. And so when you're just absolutely stationary, that's a little bit difficult. And so, you know, in the beginning, we're both on book and we just read lines back and forth. We sit and really talk about our characters, what they're like, what they feel like. You know, like Dorothy would tell Ken, okay, in the beginning, you're just this egotistical jerk who's made all this money because he found a niche in writing romance novels. And then throughout the play, he's got to be a completely broken man because this woman, you know, it's she's his... He's her prisoner.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the part that I think this brings out that the movie doesn't is she gets him pretty addicted to medication, a painkiller.
Oh.
And then she rips it away from him for a period of time. And, you know, he's laying there in agony, not only with broken bones and a broken body, but now mentally he's getting all kinds of things thrown at him, and he's coming off a major narcotic.
Yeah.
And playing that out, it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Ken screams really well.
Yes. Kate makes me scream very well.
Yeah.
A lot.
Is it, the book, I believe, is a point of view, the point of view is Paul. Do we see, is it more or less the same? Are we always with Paul and not sure what Annie's doing? Or are we able to see what Annie's up to, outside of Paul's bedroom?
I would say most of the time the focus is, I don't think there is a scene that I'm not a part of through the entire play, but there are aspects that you'll see Annie. I mean, the set is pretty amazing. You're going to see the major scenes are in his bedroom, but the rest of the house is there. You're going to see a kitchen. You're going to see a living room. The setup, the design for this set is going to be incredible.
Right. Yeah. It's really great. It's really, a lot of thought has gone into it. And, through the process, we really get to know our characters. And then the director says, okay, you're off book now. And that's when you can start to put the emotion in it, because otherwise we're just reading it from the script. But it is 58 pages. So, yeah. And I'm still glad at my age I can memorize 58 pages.
Is that a lot for a play?
It is for two people, I would say.
I suppose so. Yeah. You're in all of it. When did Misery become a play? Do you know? Is this? I've heard of the movie.
I have no
obviously.
Idea. I think. I really don't know. I know that Bruce Willis and what's her name, Laurie Metcalf, they played it on Broadway, and that was one of the reasons we couldn't do it earlier was because we couldn't do it while it was playing on Broadway, so we had to wait till they were done with that. But I don't know if that's the first time. I'm assuming that it was that they took it from the movies to the theater.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'd also like to mention that all of our crew, they're all volunteers, which we are so very, very thankful for them. You know, we're volunteers too. You know, we don't get paid big bucks to be on stage, but it's because we love theater. You know, we really, Ken and I both love playing on the Panada. It's just one of the greatest stages to really be on because of the acoustics. It's just, it's a really, really great stage. And, and we just want to give a shout out to all our volunteers who are helping us, stage crew, lighting, sound, because it really means a lot to us. We can't do it without them. So
absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. What does it take to put on a play with two people and one director? Who else? I mean, what else does it take to put this whole thing together?
Yeah, we have sound and lighting, and probably I think we have four backstage people that are constantly handing out props and organizing things for us, and making sure the scenes go the way that they're supposed to go. So there's a lot of behind the scenes work that goes on that I mean, I know people see the actors on stage, but we give big, big kudos to the people that help us out.
All right. Well, and it's, you know, it's interesting because as you go through the play, you think, oh gosh, we need this. Oh gosh, we need one of these. Oh gosh, we got to go find one of these because, You know, and even really, because a lot of thought goes into a play as the characters when you really talk about, you know, how would they do this? Would they, you know, would they say it this way? Would they, you know, and why would they do that? Like, I spent a lot of time thinking about what made Annie the way she is. What happened to her that she just became, you know, or was she just born this way with some sort of crazy mental illness? And it really is amazing how much thought goes into it. How, you know, how we really have to get into the head of the character, because if you just stand there and read it, then that's no fun because you really want to draw the audience in. But for me, speaking personally, I really need to understand that character. I need to understand that, you know, why she doesn't just kill him because she's killed so many people before, right? And so it really, it's interesting how much you think about any play. It's like, well, would they do that? You know, it's much easier in some ways with an original play, like some of the Chris Herron plays, is because that character's a blank slate. So you can go, okay, I don't think they'd do this or that, but I think that they would, you know, go this way. And so Dorothy's done an amazing job of really, really helping us go, so I want you to think about this when you play that scene. And I want you to think about this, and why would they do that? And so it really is interesting when you have a really great director that can put you in that headspace and bring that out of you. You know, or she's really great at going, have you ever had an experience that this happened to you? And then you're like, oh, yeah, that was awful. She's like, then recall that. Recall that feeling and play that part just like that. So
absolutely. And I would say, too, when you're developing a character, I mean, it's easy to watch the movie and say, okay, I'll play it like James Caan or I'll play it like Kathy Bates.
Right.
But I think we've done a phenomenal job of making the characters our own and playing it in a completely different way than what you've seen in the movie.
Right. It's art.
It's art.
You know, depending on how you express it.
Yeah, you can have the same lines, but doing the lines in a different way and in a different emotion and with a different experience, I think, is critical.
Right. It really is.
Did either of you go back and watch the movie, or have you been avoiding it?
I actually have been avoiding it.
Yeah.
I want my own character.
Yeah. Right. I watched the movie. Mm-hmm. And all I could think of was, dang, she is so nice. This, how am I going to, right?
Yeah.
And then again, Dorothy, because of her, you know, being a great director, she's like, okay, let's make her, you know, she should be a little bit darker, like in the book. I mean, it's the same script, but, you know, again, as Ken said, you just, you know, you, the William Goldman script, you still, you can interpret that to a certain point. I mean, the audience will absolutely know it's Annie and Paul, but, you know, to interpret it a little bit darker, and especially with being Halloween and, you know, being a psychological thriller, and, you know, and it's just part of live theater, which we really love. And it seems to live theater is really making a, you know, a big comeback now. We've got so many groups out there, and it's just, it's wonderful that we're getting bigger audiences, because we do have, we have amazing talent in our town. Like, you know, the, when I saw the recent plays, and it's amazing. It's as somebody who's older, you know, and someday we'll be aging out of theater, I'm sure. It's so wonderful to see, you know, younger individuals like my friend Ken, and others who are really, really embracing it. And, you know, I tell some people that when they say, how can you do all this? It's like, well, some people quilt. I do theater. It's my passion. I love it. And, you know, the audiences are coming back, and, you know, we've always had a sort of hit and miss start in with the history of live theater here in Sandpoint. And so now I really think we're kind of hitting our stride. So it really becomes, it makes us fully the art community that we are, with music and, you know, art, painting. And so we're really, it's really fantastic to be part of a community that really embraces all of these aspects of art and live theater. And Jack, maybe we should get you in a play one day.
Sure, Kate. yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
Anyway, you know what we should do actually is take it's. Look at this. Look at the time go by so fast. We are talking with Kate McAllister and Ken Wood. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY, and we're in conversation about the play Misery coming up next weekend at the Panada Theater. We will be back in just a moment with more, but I want to just play This song, which was recorded on this day in 1956, 55 or 56. I think it was recorded in 55 and then came out in 56. See if anybody out there remembers this little number. That's Harry Belafonte with the Banana Boat song, Day-O, recorded on this date in 55 and released in 56. And from, I think that's from an album, the compilation called American Heartbeat 1957. So we have the full range of mid-late 50s there. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack. I'm here with Kate McAllister and Ken Wood. The only actors in the play Misery, a play based on a book by Stephen King. The script of the play is by William Goldman, and it is directed by Dorothy Prophet. Mm-hmm. And it's at the Panada Theater on October 28th, 29th, and 30th. You can still get tickets right now online at Brown Paper Tickets. Or I'm guessing at the box
Panada
office,
yeah, probably. Or the Panada mm-hmm. website as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think you can get them at iCards. Mm-hmm. They might still be available at iCards.
Yeah. Might still be available at iCards. Mm-hmm. Call to find out.
Right.
Or drop by, I suppose. Have a beer.
Get absolutely.
A mm-hmm. We were talking in the break there that I mentioned I think of comedy and drama as really the only kinds of plays that there are. But this is, it's a drama, of course, but it's also a different genre. Something that I associate mostly with the movies, the horror or thriller genre, which and you don't have any tricks, you don't have any camera tricks to fall back on for getting that emotion out of people in this play. But you feel like you've done it at this point.
I think we have.
Yeah, you haven't.
Yes.
I think people will be. I think they'll be frightened.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's the stretch as an actor. It's like, how do we draw you in? And yeah. Is this believable that I would, you know, just completely break this mm-hmm. individual? But I hope I play crazy well enough. We'll see.
Yeah. Do you guys go and attend theater or are you mostly just in it?
Oh, I attend theater.
Yeah. Right. I attend everything that's on the stage because, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of a, support our fellow actors and directors. And mm-hmm. I go to Spokane every once in a while and see some of the stuff, some of the plays there. And yeah, I love live theater. Well, I just think it's so amazing.
What's the scariest play you've ever seen?
I don't know. I guess I don't think in terms of scary, but like yeah. The Bad Seed was a little bit weird and made you think. But you know, you're right about the no effects and, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. So you have to really give the illusion of what's going on. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, under Dorothy's direction, we have captured that quite well.
Yes.
Yeah. You will understand what is going on.
You have to get into the audience's head.
Right.
Yeah. With just the tools at your disposal.
Right.
Which you guys read Stephen King?
Yes.
You do. Okay.
Yeah.
You've read the book?
Yes.
I guess. Okay. Yeah.
And that is frightening. I know yeah. In the book there is a part where, and it's not in the script, where she cuts off his thumb and puts it in the middle of a cake and brings it to him and says, "Don't worry, I won't make you eat your thumb."
Oh, wow.
But we don't do that. But yes. When I was like, "Ooh."
Yikes. Okay. Well, I'm glad you don't do that.
Right.
I know. And Ken's only got
that.
Two thumbs.
That's right.
What would you do on the third night?
Good point, Jack. Good point.
Some people say, I have not read that book. Some people say it's his best. It's a well-regarded Stephen King book, I think. Or one of his scariest, anyway. I don't know. If people rank his non-horror works differently than they rank the scary ones, but
yeah, we've heard that too. Is that, oh my gosh, the book is, you can tell the fans who've read the book and the You know, the people, oh, the movie was, you know, it was kind of scary and strange, but the people who've read the book are like, oh my God.
Yeah. The movie wasn't anything. The movie was a rainbow compared to
right. That. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, and just to put in a little bit more about Cade Prophet Memorial Productions, Dorothy started this because her son Cade died, had an accident, and Cade always loved the cats. And so Dorothy tells the story as a single mom and not a lot of money. They would go to the animal shelter and, you know, call it the zoo, and they would spend time with all the animals there. And Cade was especially fond of cats. And so Dorothy, when she started doing this, she does a production in May. Cade Prophet Memorial Productions does a production at the end of May and then another one in the fall. And then all of the proceeds go to the animal shelter, and yeah,
which is one of the main reasons I wanted to be part of this production. I mean, I've worked with the animal shelter with Mandy over there, who I think is an incredible executive director for them, and just the amazing things that they do for our community. So it's great to see the proceeds from something I think Kate and I both love doing go to a great community organization and help them out.
Right. Well, and all the proceeds after, you know, our minimal costs, because we all, when you have, you know, a small theater group like, you know, Dorothy's is, we all agree that, yeah, I'll buy some props and you buy some props. And so it really is great that other than the expense of the Panada, right, then proceeds go to a nonprofit. So just, you know, and that seems to be, you know, our little theater groups in town, none of us really make a lot of money, so we do this for the love of theater. But this is really great because Cade Prophet Memorial Productions, all the proceeds go to the animal shelter. So Better Together Animal Shelter, sorry, Animal Alliance. I've been here too long.
BTAA. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, Better Together Animal Alliance. It's great. I mean, good to know. Great, great cause.
Right.
And Are there any animals in the play? No, doesn't tie in.
There's a mention of animals.
There's a mention of animals, but
okay, don't want to spoil that.
Don't want to spoil that. You'll have to come and see it.
Okay.
And I really think that I know it's weird to say, but audiences will be pleasantly surprised at how this all works out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I really encourage you to, especially Halloween. It's just perfect for Halloween. Yeah. To see live theater and
Spooky season,
right?
And it's getting to be a little rainy and chilly now. Oh, this is gonna be
right.
This is gonna be good. I want to go. I want to see if you guys can scare me. I would.
Okay.
I bet
we
you can,
accept that but, challenge, yeah. Jack.
Okay. Again, the play is Misery. It's at the Panada Theater. It's the story of a novelist and his tormentor, and that's it.
But I love him.
Yes. It's funny. I mean, it is just two people. It almost seems immediately like it should be a play. You know. Mm-hmm. It lends itself naturally to the stage. But
kind of one of the downsides of that is that we only have each other.
Yeah.
Right. There's nobody else, and Ken never leaves stage. He is on stage the entire time. And and he gets a small break every once in a while, but it's just us.
Yeah.
And so that really is a, you know, you got to have a trust with somebody that you know that you can rely on each other that's going to go great. Or even if, you know, heaven forbid, we switch a line or, you know, say it in the wrong order or we miss a line. We won't do that in the performances. But
of course not.
No. But, you know, you catch each other and you just make sure that we go on and it, you know, there's to the audience, it would be seamless. And so, yeah, so acting is really a trust situation, too, that you can be out there together and know you're going to support each other and make it work.
Yeah, we don't have the option of cut the scene like you do in the movies. So it is 100%. Reliance on each other.
And I am I have been told I am a theater snob because I was in a movie once and I had four lines. And my daughter, who was a documentary filmmaker, she said, oh, you're going to hate it because you're just going to hate it, Mom. It's going to take too long. You're a theater snob. I'm like, oh, no, no, maybe I could be a movie star. Uh-huh. And so then we get these four lines, took 8.5 hours to film. And the person next to me, he says, well, I need to have cue cards. Don't you? And I'm like, it's four lines. What? Are you kidding? And so I called her back and I said, my daughter, and I said, you are absolutely right. I said, the thing that I like about theater is from the moment I hit that stage, I have to be prepared. Yeah. I have to trust myself that I have done all the work and I know the lines. And also I like the energy and the response from the audience, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm actually taking part in a film right now, which is, it's really a great experience, but you could tell when we did a read through of the second filming that a lot of the people in the room were theater actors because the question was asked, so when do we start rehearsals? And the director went, there's no rehearsals. Oh, yeah. Oh. And so that kind of freaked a bunch of us out. It's like, no rehearsals. Okay, well.
Yeah.
But then you remember, well, if you do it wrong, they can cut and start again and start again and start again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the process and I'm happy I was asked to do this, but I love theater, you know, and especially as I get older, you know, in my mid-60s, it's good for my brain mm-hmm. to have to memorize and I really appreciate that. I like that a lot. And someday when, you know, I guess I don't trust myself to memorize, I'm still going to be a part of theater. I'm always going to, I want to support the young people and make sure that we really keep theater going. And so when I retire in a couple of years, then mm-hmm. I think I'll volunteer that all the time.
Yeah.
And just really help promote it. And yeah, because, you know, what else will I have to do?
You'll be Mrs. Sandpoint Theater.
Well, I'll be behind the scenes.
Yeah,
but.
Okay.
I think Kate makes a great point, too, about the energy of the audience. That's mm-hmm. one of the greatest joys of live theater. They really do become part of what's happening on stage mm-hmm. and having that energy from the crowd and their belief in what's happening up there is one of the most incredible feelings.
Yeah. I think anything you go to that you can go to with an audience, there's always a response or more of a response. My brother gave me a little bit of trivia, which is that if you watch a movie, people have, you know, done a study of comedy movies. They film an audience, people watching the same movie at home by themselves versus with an audience. And people laugh not just a little bit more, but people laugh like 20 times more. More often if they're in an audience with people watching the same movie as they would at home. Like it is a real multiplication effect. And I think that goes for scary movies too. And scary theater, like Misery. Yes.
Yeah.
Spooky.
It's going to be very spooky.
Yeah. I think this will be, this sounds like it's going to be a smash hit. I wish you all the best with this. Break a leg.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Would you ever come, you're going to do this 3 times and then that's it. Would you ever come back and revisit these characters some Halloween in the future, you think? Or are you anxious to put these people behind you?
Yes and no. Well, you know, you get down to this point, and, you know, I'm sure Ken can verify this. You get to this point, and like this morning when we both arrived, it's like, I am exhausted because, you have to work 8 hours a day, and then you got to go. Right. And so the energy, it's always amazing to me how much of my energy is spent doing the play. And, you know, because you go home and it's like, all I did was just speak words, and but your body is like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I'm wiped.
Yeah. Well, and Ken has small children.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, that would do it. I was going to say, Ken, you're in bed for half of it. I can't believe. Yeah. I think we know how that can be. Yes, the exhaustion of mental effort is it's a real thing.
Yeah. So maybe, someday, sure, if we wanted to, you know, well, at least Ken, you know, mm-hmm. can reprise the role. And I could too if I'm mm-hmm. up to it. But yeah, we will be glad. I will be glad when it's over. And on Monday, I can just go, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Okay.
Start getting her out of your head.
Right.
I guess I'll say one more time, and we better scurry you guys out of the studio here. The play is Misery. It's at the Panada Theater. It's next weekend, the 28th and 29th at 7 p.m. and October 30th at 3 p.m. Tickets are available online at panada.org and at Brown Paper Tickets and maybe at iCarts as well as at the door, I assume. And the proceeds benefit the Better Together Animal Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Any final thoughts in closing, or shall we move on to our next musical selection?
No, I just really encourage people to come out and support theater. And I know that if this isn't your thing, the psychological thriller isn't your thing, be sure to support other theater performances that we have and any live performances, you know, the music and et cetera, what we have, because there's just nothing better than being a part of a live performance. And, you know, and I think people will enjoy this. That's sort of weird to say. But, mm-hmm. It would be just really great to have everybody's support. And I have people coming from Spokane when I worked in the corporate world. They, you know, were friends on Facebook, and they're like, we can't wait to see this. And so that'll be fun, people coming from far and wide. But, and I'm sure Ken has a lot of people.
I do, family members coming from far and wide. And, I echo Kate's sentiment, though. Even if this isn't your type of theater, other theater, there's great theater in this town. There has been The Importance of Being Earnest recently and Young Frankenstein. There's really great things happening in theater, but it only happens because of the support of the local community.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There was something else I was going to say, and I totally spaced it out of my mind. I know. So we recommend that it really isn't for probably kids under 15 and only, you know, 15 and 16 only if they're kind of worldly young people, because it really is not meant for young kids. It's just really, it's too scary.
Yeah.
So just want to let the audience know that, but.
That's good. That's a good point. I can imagine that could go very wrong if it didn't. People bring their kids to the theater thinking something else, maybe. It's Misery. It's based on a novel by Stephen King and the script by William Goldman, Academy Award winner.
Yes.
William Goldman.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The actors are Kate McAllister and Ken Wood. And that is the extent of the cast. The director is Dorothy Prophet, and it's at the Panada Theater. And there we have it.
Great.
That's our story, right?
Story. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. And this is on this date, 1962, the first record by Peter, Paul, and Mary was at the top of the charts, called Peter, Paul, and Mary. And here we go with the first track off of that record.